Thy kingdom and thy will. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. As you speak of God's kingdom and God's will, we speak about the realm of God and His rule. And it also begs the question of the existence of another kingdom and another will that is other than God's kingdom and God's will. I submit to you that it is Satan's kingdom and sinful man's will. There is an age-old rebellion against the Creator that has not been resolved today. And this is the reason for man's predicament, his problems, misery, and sorrow for the last 6,000 years since the fall of man. But men today still choose to reject and insist on going their own way, that it is best, moving headlong to destruction. And Lord, and we said, Lord, please be merciful. Andrew Murray, the man whom we have been reading the devotions for the last 2 years, he made this interesting statement concerning this verse. He says, when God created heaven and earth, it meant heaven to be the divine pattern to which earth was to be conformed. As in heaven, so in earth. The law of its existence, what constitutes the glory of heaven. God is there. Everything lives for His glory. This is heaven. The will of God is done. When God says A, His kingdom moves in that same direction. But what happens on earth when we think of this earth has come, well, with all its sin and misery, with great majority, without any knowledge of the true God, and insists on going their own way, we feel that there is a need for a miracle, he says, if the words is to be fulfilled. Thy kingdom come, or thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Do you feel that way? Do you feel that life on earth, as you see the going-ons, you see the departure of men from the will of God, you see inevitable moving away, and you are grieved to see what is before you. And oftentimes we realize that there is no other way except that God would intervene. And so what must we do? Well, more and more, I believe the people of God learn as they see the world around them and the movement away from God, that His people must be on their knees to pray. And Murray further explained, he says, this can become true through the prayers of God's children. Intercession is to be the great link between heaven and earth. That's why we emphasize on the prayer meeting, those who come for prayer meeting, those who pray together with us at prayer. Why is it so important? Because each intercessor provides that link between heaven and earth, that the will of God be done, and that message, that matter is so urgent, God's people are blinded. They would rather have their own party. And it's sad to see this, the intercession of the Son began upon earth, continued in heaven when Jesus was upon earth. He prayed. And this mandate is now given to us, carried on by His people. If we would faithfully pray and understand the will of God, the mandate of God, then there will be a change. But if we will not change and we will not pray and we would go about doing our own things, then sad to say, God's will indeed will not be done in the will of His willful children. As Christ prayed, "Thy will be done." So the redeemed ones make His prayer their own, and the unceasing and would unceasingly ask, "Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Jesus said, before He went to the cross, He prayed this prayer. He saw how the sheep is going to be scattered because there would be wolves who would come in and attack the flock of God and draw them away. Jesus says, "This word spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee, as Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." This is the only way to heaven. "I have glorified Thee on the earth, and I have finished the work on which Thou givest me to do." And this task is entrusted to His people on earth. And will His people go on in their reverie, led astray? God forbid. When we, Marie says, God's children, learn to pray not only for our immediate interests, but enlarge our hearts to take in the whole church and the whole world, then our united supplication will have power with God. Intercession will hasten the day when it will indeed be as in heaven, so in earth. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. Why is it not so? Well, the people of God need to continue to search and seek the will of God. And that's why you see it's such a pertinent aspect of the Christian's prayer. That's why, you know, we say the Lord's Prayer every Lord's Day. But does it dawn upon us what it really means? What is our responsibility when we utter these words? "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as in heaven." We have begun this study. We said the 8 pertinent elements of prayer. The preface, the praise we have seen last week. And today, the 3rd and 4th, preach, "Thy kingdom come, power, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." The will of God, does God not have the power to usher in His kingdom? Of course He has. And He has given this mandate to His children. Weak as we are, feeble as we are, the Lord moves His kingdom through the bended knees of His servants, of His church. And so the Lord wants us to think, and today we want to consider these two aspects concerning the coming of God's kingdom. What does it mean How will it take place? The four thoughts for today. Why God's kingdom must come. Verse 10a, part 1. How God's kingdom will come. Verse 10a, part 2. Study and submission. The more you know the will of God, the more you want to be in tune to follow the will of God. To do the things of God. Survey and supplication. Verse 10b, part 2. In the year 2001, I was introduced to this hymn in a night class. The last hour. It was about March, April, February, March, 2001. This is to the hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. And these are the words that was penned, right, by our pastoral advisor, and it was taught by his dear brother, the late Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh. The words goes like this. The sunset burns in western sky. Upon the air, a warning cry. The siren wails from tower to tower. Dear brethren, this the last hour. We were studying the book of Revelation. And God has unfolded through His servant concerning the things of the last days. The last things which will happen to this earth. And the Lord wants us to see the urgency of the mandate that is laid upon us. The souls that Christians might have won now crowd the hour of setting sun. Publish abroad His saving name to ends of earth, Christ's power proclaim. For dying souls, my brethren, we, O tardy workers, go and reap. Forsake the world and all its fun. The battle must be fought and won. Hark, hear His footsteps on the way. All work, burn out while it is day, constrained by love, endued with power. O brethren, in this last hour, the Lord tells us that indeed we are in the last moments of human history. And this is 17 years ago. How urgent it is now. Well, it was 6-7 months before September 11th. You remember September 11th? Yeah. Was lying down and suddenly prompted to go and switch on the TV. And I saw two planes going into the two towers. One World Trade Center. The new world order. The world of Satan. God wants us to see and understand that there is that battle that is going on. And how is it that you can be gripped by a hymn? It was, I believe, April, May time frame. We were on our way to Borneo. And, well, it was quite a time when the Spirit of God seemed to be moving the hearts of His people. And I could sense that urgency. And before the things would happen, things would come. And the Lord tells us that we are not in good times. We are saying here that the time is coming when we can work no more. And God has given us a witness. Let us not be those tardy workers, but let us be indeed true servants doing the will of God. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the pastor in Westminster in London, said these words, the late pastor. He says, "It gives us a consuming passion that the whole world might come to know God. It means a burning desire that the whole world may bow before God in adoration, in reverence, in praise and worship, in honor and thanksgiving." What do you do when you gather together? Do you gather together to worship God? Do you gather together to sing hymns, to praise God, and to talk about the things of God? The Lord wants us to know concerning the business of His kingdom. And this is urgent, and the Lord wants us to be a part of it. And there is reward. You remember in 2015, when we have our church camp, we were speaking concerning the nearness of God's return. And we said that God has given a mission to the church, a work for us to do. And that that day of working, the day of work, may come swiftly to an end. And that's it. If you look at the chart, the greatest event that is still unfulfilled is the return of Jesus Christ. God is going to take His church to glory. And that time will come, and then we can work no more. And the world will go into a stage of great tribulation for 7 years. And then Christ Himself would come, and Christ Himself would set up His kingdom upon earth. And the Lord wants us to know all this concerning what He is doing for His kingdom and what is to come. If we know, then our lives will come with a new energy. We are studying the book of Revelation and how we see that indeed the message is urgent, right? The call is clear, that the people of God may be awakened. They will not slumber anymore. We are living indeed in Satan's territory. And when we are not careful, we are taken hook, line and sinker. Right? Very sad. But this is the plight for the truly undiscerning. And so the Lord wants us to think and consider what is going on and what is coming. Thy kingdom come. Indeed, God's kingdom will come swiftly. And, you know, one of the greatest assets, we said, in the Bible Presbyterian Church, is that we believe in the doctrine of the pre-millennial return of Christ upon earth. That Christ would come to set up His rule upon earth for 1,000 years, and that His people would reign with Him. You know, the reformers, they did not see Israel in the land, and they dare not take a literal interpretation of the book of Revelation. But we, living in hindsight, know, right? Israel is back in the land. The Lord is coming soon, and that He will establish His kingdom upon earth. 1,000 years. During that time, there will be a physical restoration. Nations would be restored. The knowledge and worship of God will be upon earth. Politically, the nations would come together. Worshipping that one God, there would be a social reconciliation. And if you look at the things that is happening today, it's totally opposite. We see the effect of the curse as a result of the fall. We see the blindness that is in the heart of men. They don't want God. They don't want Jesus Christ. And there are so many who find their own Christ. And wars, crime, rebellion, debt, bankruptcies. This is what we are seeing today. Debts. No way to nullify. Now, central bankers would say, it's okay to pile up debts. It's just a number. We will continue printing. Well, a time of reckoning is coming. And the Lord wants us to see, wants us to understand, right, that this earth will not continue forever. A time is coming for its destruction. You may not be able to see that clearly, but basically what is said here is this. Right, this is the present earth, and the earth is going to go through a period of tribulation, then the millennium, and its destruction by fire. And God is going to create a new heaven and new earth. Only those who are in the Lord will be a part of this kingdom of God. And we said that the world today, the whole creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together. Disease, great proliferation, cancer. People are dying as a result of the curse 6,000 years ago. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. The Lord wants us to see the dying kingdom of this world. And the Lord wants us to know a time is coming when Satan will have time no more. Revelation chapter 20 tells us, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. This deception is going on so that the people of God are blinded. They think they know. Wise in their own eyes. He should deceive the nations no more. A time is coming when Satan will be chained up. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. They lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The Lord wants us to know that if we are serving Him, following Him, waiting upon Him, doing His will, doing His bidding, a time will come when we would be reigning with earth, with Christ upon earth. Now you may think this is foreign doctrine. What is it talking about? Well, I'm saying to you that the people of God must take time to know the plan of God. If they don't know what is the plan of God, then they are lost. their lives are disorientated. They don't know how to do the will of God. It came to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted upon above the hills, and all nations will flow into it. Come ye, let us go to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and I will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Lord tells us that his kingdom will come, and that he has inaugurated his kingdom, and he has given us that marching order. Have you spoken to someone this week concerning the message of the gospel? Have you spoken to someone this week concerning their eternal well-being? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the Lord wants us to see and understand the urgency of the message. The world is in trouble, and we all know that sin has taken a toll in the lives of mankind. In the last 500 years, there were many wars. The author, John Blanchard, he said, in the past 4,000 years, there is no less than 300 years without a major war. And one pastor said, peace is merely that brief, glorious moment in history when everyone stops to reload. In the last 500 years, Britain was involved in 78 major wars. France, 16. Spain, 64. Russia, 61. Austria, 52. Germany, 23. United States, 13. China, 11. And Japan, in 9. And the 20th century is hailed by many as the beginning of a millennium of peace and prosperity. But we saw in the last century two world wars, 1914 to 1918. It was supposed to be the war that end all wars. 30 million people were killed. And to avoid the repetition of this catastrophe, in 1946, the League of Nations was formed. It was supposed to maintain international peace. In 1928, 58 nations came into this covenant of membership. But during the World War II, eventually, 90 million lives were lost. The League of Nations finally won up, and a newly founded United Nations was established. Well, it was established that there would be no more wars. But if you were to trace the history of the last 50, 60 years, you find that there were even worse catastrophes. But the silent guns of global conflict were followed by the so-called Cold War. For nearly half a century, people lived under the real threat of nuclear extinction. The United States itself has enough nerve gas to kill all life in an area 455 million square miles, 8 times the area of the whole surface of the earth. Indeed, mankind is moving in a situation whereby we are on the brink of self-destruction. Any one nuclear weapon can cause great disaster damage. We have seen it, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. How will God's kingdom come? God's kingdom will come when the church of Jesus Christ would take seriously the mandate to begin to fulfill the Great Commission. And the Lord tells us that His people must not rest on their laurels, but they must indeed be moving concertedly together to do the will of God. All power is given unto me in heaven and the earth, Jesus says. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. You see, the Great Commission is a national mandate. Teach all nations. We are a nation. We have a witness here. And God is asking us that we extend this witness. And what are we thinking about concerning this witness that the Lord has for us? Well, the Lord wants us to consider and think and do. Jesus says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then the end shall come. In the last 3-4 years, China has embarked on the One Belt, One Road initiative. Very interesting, as you study, it's in the 10th and the 40th latitude of the earth, the most temperate region, joining the West and the East, is the Middle East. The most populated area on earth. And the Lord is saying to us, and the Lord is telling us, well, there is a work to do. If Christ would tarry, well, may the people of God be aware of the work of the gospel. We have resources. We have people. What are we doing with our resources? What are we doing with our time? And the Lord wants us to think and consider and pray and see what is going on around us. In this second petition, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed, that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. And the Lord wants us to think and consider. Well, we have a lady whom we met while we were giving out tracts. Give me your tracts. We will distribute. I will distribute for you. And she would come periodically to take them. Well, we thank the Lord for those who are willing to do this work together. And we praise the Lord for His mercy and His grace. May God raise up men and women. Why is it, as we look at the world around us, God is raising up China, the One Belt, One Road initiative, the Silk Road? Well, I believe the Lord is giving us time for the work, not willing that any should perish. You have any in the home, any that is around you that is still outside the kingdom of God, the Lord wants you to do a part. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is giving the world a reprieve so that we may understand this mandate that God is giving to us. 2 years ago, June 30th, 2015, article, Washington, CNN. This was reported. In the wake of last Friday's landmark Supreme Court ruling that allows same-sex couples nationwide to marry, the White House was illuminated in rainbow colors for the evening, a nod to the achievement of the gay rights movement. This is the world that we are living in today. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah has come upon us. And it is going to be very fast, and it will affect our generation. The marriage covenant, the marriage institution that God had created is going to be overturned. And you cannot do anything, you cannot say anything about it. This is the third P. And we said preach. It is coined to help us to crystallize the sense of this prayer. The people need to know that it's one man and one woman, not a man with a man and a woman with a woman. How is it that the people of God are not aware, sleeping, asking the Holy Spirit to empower us with His strength to walk with God like the days of Noah? It is no accident that the Lord has brought us here, right, to a place, you know, a building built like the ark, to proclaim as a witness all who would stand with us for this witness. The time is urgent. Asking the Holy Spirit to empower us with His strength to walk with God, just like the day of Noah before the flood. You know, the days of Noah before the flood, people reject the Word of God. They go their own way. Men was evil in their hearts continually. And the days before God would send fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the days of Abraham and Lot, how serious it is. Do you see that judgment is coming? We are at the brink of judgment. The Word of God warns us, and we are still not aware. Do not see the urgency of the times. A.J. Gordon, pastor, he says, it costs much to obtain the power of the Spirit. It costs self-surrender and humiliation, a yielding up of our most precious things to God. It costs the perseverance of long waiting and the faith of strong trust. But when we are really in that power, we shall find this difference, that whereas before it was hard for us to do the easiest things, now it is easy for us to do the hard things. How does it begin? The early church began when they were gathered for a prayer meeting. 120 of them. They prayed fervently. They were willing to forsake all things to come together. Well, there are those who pray and don't pray anymore. Come and don't come anymore. Why is that so? Why is there that lethargy? Let us not give reasons, excuses. The Lord is saying to us, Thy kingdom come. And that's serious business. I've shown you the signs, the things that is going on, and things will develop quickly, swiftly, and the Lord wants us to know. Our Lord Jesus Himself prayed to the Father in Gethsemane, Not my will, but thine be done. The Lord wants us to see, to understand, to align our will with God's will. That we may be surrendered to do the will of God. We may be surrendered to do the things of God. The will of God cannot be thwarted. But this is a prayer of submission to the divine rule of God in our lives. Study and submission is our third thought. Study and submission. Study, know the will of God. Know His kingdom purpose. And be willing to submit to it. Doing the will of God involves surrendering our will to the will of God. True submission will bring true peace to our hearts. When we pray this prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's peace will come to us. Psalm 18 says, As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God, save the Lord, and who is a rock, save our God. It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Thou shalt show me the path of life. And in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increase. God will put a gladness in your heart when you serve Him with all your heart. A peace that comes, that strengthens you. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Man does not recognize his Creator, Jesus, and is indeed a great ingratitude. Therefore, I say, it behooves us to set our lives in order by coming back to Jesus, the originator of life. That we come to the Lord and seek Him, seek His will. To do His will. We pray that God, by His grace, would make us see and willing to know and obey and submit to His will in all things, as do the angels in heaven. why God's kingdom must come. Because man cannot run his life. It has been misery, misery, and more misery. No way. The world is crying out for a solution to the sin problem. But how can it be solved? Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Only when we would humble ourselves and come before God and confess our sins and cry to God for help. And how will God's kingdom come? When His people would pray and be willing to do His bidding. His gospel must go to the end of the world. Then the end shall come. How can God's will be done on earth? We must know the will of God. We must study. Know the doctrine of the last things. Not easy study, you know. It takes time to know what God will do. And to submit. Submit means to align your life. Adjust your life. Adjust the priorities that you have to God's kingdom priorities. Survey and supplicate. God has given to us a mandate through the local church, the ground and pillar of truth. And it is through this vehicle that God will accomplish His purposes. May the people of God be willing to take time and consider and pray and think and do. These are the priorities of life. As we said before, before we ask what God will do for me, how can I be more satisfied, happier? Well, when we do the will of God, be in the part of God's kingdom purpose, you'll be the happiest person. Because you know that when our Lord returns, you're going to receive your reward. As you glorify Him in your life, as you serve Him, as you walk with Him. As we said, this is the doctrine of prayer. And how do we practice it? Well, let us pray. Pray privately, pray corporately. If we are not doing so, then the Lord wants us to do so. Get serious. And His reward is with Him. Jesus says, "Surely I come quickly. My reward is with me." There is no time to lose. The clock is ticking. May the Lord energize us to do His will. Thy kingdom and Thy will, not my kingdom and my will. May God be gracious to help us to see and do His will for His own name's sake, for His own glory. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for showing to us the spiritual mandate concerning Thy kingdom. Lord, help us to consider and think, to pray, not just for ourselves here, but to pray for Thy kingdom work. Not just in Singapore, but what Thou art doing around the world. Oh God, I pray that Thou would be gracious to bless Thy people with a heart that is filled with thy love, filled with thy will, filled with thy spirit, that we may be led to do thy will during these last days. O God, may thou be gracious to strengthen thy people and to help us to go forth and bring honor and glory to thy name through the work of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.